This is Word of Mouth. Your questions answered, your state explored. I'm Virginia Prescott. From untold stories of American cuisine to untold stories across the Granite State, producer Jimmy Gutierrez is here with a question from a listener for our Only in New Hampshire series. What do you got, Jimmy?
So here's a perfectly timed question from Caitlin in Northwood, who wrote, I heard Northwood has some kind of important link on the way we celebrate Thanksgiving. I looked but never found it. Any ideas?
Northwood, that's kind of far from Plymouth Rock and the buckle shoes and all that stuff.
No worries, Caitlin, we're on it. After a little digging, the question from Northwood led us to Newport, New Hampshire, birthplace of 19th century writer and the mother of Thanksgiving, Sarah Hale. We arrived at the Richard Free Library on a gorgeous fall day. It's kind of the Sarah Hale capital of the world. Outside is a new memorial park dedicated to the writer.
Okay, so it looks like a little circle with, of course, granite bricks. This bust of Sarah J. Hale, it's got her, looks like her signature, an obelisk.
There's also a quill pen and scroll to commemorate her Thanksgiving campaign.
And then a stack of books.
These are all the books that she wrote.
She wrote a lot of books.
She wrote a lot.
For someone who had five kids, how she wrote so many books?
Where do you find the time?
Hello.
Hi there.
Coming to meet us is Mary Lou McGuire and Andrea Thorpe, who work at the library, and Sandy Sonicson, who volunteers here. Think of them as the Sarah Hale Dream Team.
Mary Lou and Sandy lead us through the library, up a staircase to the Sarah Hale Room. It's got shelves of books, most of them dating back to the mid-19th century. So, all right, so these are the original Godey's magazines?
Yes,
ladies' magazines? Oh, my gosh, and you've got bound versions.
Bound versions of them also, yes.
And you keep them under lock and key?
We do.
Do I have to wear white gloves?
No, we don't.
For 40 years, Sarah Hale was editor of Godey's Ladies' Book. It was the most widely circulated magazine in America before the Civil War. There were recipes, dress patterns, sheet music for popular dances.
But where Sarah shined were her editorials, where she would regularly advocate for things like women's education. And she was one of the first to promote and publish the works of American authors like Nathaniel Hawthorne, Oliver Wendell Holmes, and Edgar Allan Poe.
She also wrote essays, short stories, and children's poems, including the classic Mary Had a Little Lamb in 1830. The tame little nursery rhyme became the source of a bitter dispute when auto tycoon Henry Ford suggested Hale plagiarize the story from another Mary in Sudbury, Massachusetts.
I know, it's a dispute whether or not.
Oh, no, it's not a dispute.
No,
no dispute.
Some people have disputes.
Only in Sterling, Massachusetts.
And you could
do a whole show about fake news. It's so much fake news, the Mary Had a Little Lamb thing.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, it involves...
Turns out that Ford's claim was tied to a promotional scheme for an inn he'd purchased near Sudbury. The Newport Library has been correcting the record on this for almost 100 years. Here's Sandy.
My mother brought a lamb to school. Yes, in Vermont. And my mother's name was Mary.
Did she make any claims?
No, and that's what I say is my mother did not, as an old woman, claim to be a little Bo Peep.
Nursery rhyme beefs aside, let's get back to Caitlin's question about the Thanksgiving holiday. We're going to roll back not to the Pilgrims or the Wampanoags, but 150-odd years later, in the aftermath of the Revolutionary War. In 1789, President George Washington issued a proclamation recognizing November 26th as a national day of Thanksgiving.
In the anti-federalist spirit of the time, states chose to celebrate the day really whenever they wanted. Sarah picked up the cause to unite the nation. And Mary Lou says growing up with a father who fought in the war for independence against the British fueled her patriotism.
But she saw the results of the deprivation, the harm that a war, a hard-fought war, did on just her one family, never mind her family and friends. And I think she knew how what was given up to create this nation of ours.
For 17 years, Sarah Hale campaigned to set aside one day across the country for Thanksgiving. She wrote to governors, a series of presidents, and published countless editorials. Finally, in 1863, President Lincoln proclaimed Thanksgiving Day a national holiday for the last Thursday in November. Now, this is while the Civil War was raging.
But long before mounting that campaign, she created an image of how Thanksgiving should be celebrated in her novel. Wait for it.
Northwood.
Yep, published in 1827. It's a story about a family divided between the North and the South. The link to Northwood our listener asked us about is not the town, but a book.
Mary Lou and Sandy gave us some background. In Northwood, one of the family's sons is being raised by a wealthy aunt and uncle in the South. He returns to New Hampshire unexpectedly with a British friend the night before Thanksgiving. Here's Sandy.
And so the beginning of Northwood, really the first major scene of it, is him arriving and Thanksgiving taking place.
The morning of Thanksgiving, the family heads off to church, leaving their teenage daughter at home to supervise the production of the feast. And we are talking about a feast.
So they had roast turkey with savory stuffing and broth. Flanked on either side of the turkey is a leg of pork and a loin of mutton. Innumerable bowls of gravy and plates of vegetables, a goose and a pair of ducklings. It keeps going.
Just like Sarah Lohman told us, a massive, meaty meal. And there's preserves, bread from homegrown wheat, and all this is before dessert.
A huge, huge plum pudding, custard and pies, with pumpkin pie occupying the most distinguished niche.
And to drink, they had currant wine, cider, and ginger beer, all made by themselves.
So what's the message behind this fastidiously detailed meal prepared by a northern family and shared with southern relatives and a limey?
The emphasis in Northwood really is all about how the North, people in the North, by the sweat of their own brows, are producing all this abundance. And so I think that this meal, this overabundant meal, is really an advertisement for the North, you know, as opposed to the South, where they have servants or slaves who help them do all this. Here in the North, we do this all ourselves.
The North really comes out smelling like roses in this one, but Sarah's ultimate goal was national reconciliation.
And then she says, "Everything that contributes to bind us in one vast empire together, to quicken the sympathy that makes us feel from the icy North to the sunny South, that we are one family, each a member of a great and free nation, not merely the unit of a remote locality, is worthy of being cherished."
Long before talk of healing the nation was thrown around, Sarah Hale was on it. Though she was a woman bound in her time, not an abolitionist. In fact, she had some pretty naive views on the institution of slavery.
She did view slavery as something that was destroying the spirit of the white people in the South.
Oof, Sarah. Admittedly, though, not too uncommon for the time. She was unconventional in other ways. Her husband, David Hale, died 2 months after the birth of their fifth child, and she'd been judged pretty hard for how she did, or maybe better put, did not parent her kids.
Perspective, let's remember historic perspective, and she did come under attack for this. She pretty much farmed her children out to relatives.
And boarding schools.
And her youngest son, she kept with her.
She was Victorian in other ways. She wouldn't even speak in public, but she did write a lot and was way out in front in her disdain for the F word. Female, unless you're talking about donkeys or horses.
Like, female is a new F word on Twitter. You say that, you're roasted.
Oh, really?
Is that really true? If you're a dude, you say female on Twitter?
Sarah's really happy.
Really?
Wow.
Oh,
boy,
Sarah's so happy. She wouldn't be happy with Twitter.
No.
Wow. That's so funny.
Yeah.
You know, this is a question that I think a lot of people ask about her is that, you know, is this woman known as the godmother of Thanksgiving? Was she a feminist?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she...
Wait a minute.
She,
I got a yes and a no.
Yeah.
But you know what? And I'm just going to preface the whole yes and no's. It's one thing to stand where we are today with our parameters and our beliefs and look back. It's another thing to be back there, and we can't do this, and understand what was going on back then, because it was a totally different world.
Imagine that, being a single mother in the early 19th century, writing a novel with your infant son in your arms, and then choosing to leave your hometown and everything you know to move to Boston and work for a man she didn't know. Sarah Hale's neighbors were scandalized by that decision, long before women's rights was a thing. Forget feminism.
So she had the strength, the nerve, to go off and follow her inner calling, shall we say, against society. what they thought. So is that feminism? Believing that I am a woman, I can do this job that only men have done. So in that way, she was a feminist.
I wonder what Sarah Hale would think of generations of, let's face it, mostly women freaking out over lumpy gravy and dry turkey and not measuring up to Martha Stewart's Thanksgiving table. And what would she think of this country still arguing over the symbols and causes of the Civil War? What would her appeal be in 2017?
Oh, I think it's really easy to see her appeal. I mean, if she was not tied to that magazine, then we would not have those fashions. She would be talking about simplicity. She would be talking about making your home a welcoming, peaceful place, separate from the chaos of the world around you.
It's all kind of mind-blowing. Another hidden history in a small New Hampshire town. If not for one opinionated, patriotic woman who seemingly never stopped writing, we might not be making our way over the river and through the airports and toll booths to sit down together on the same day across the country, breaking bread and being grateful.
And no matter how wacky and divisive the news is, not talk politics at the table. That's a rule in my family anyway. Makes Thanksgiving meal a lot more civil.
Thank you, Caitlin, for the question. And remember, you can submit your questions about New Hampshire to our Only in New Hampshire page at nhpr.org.
Thanks, Jimmy. And thank you to the determined and prolific Sarah Hale.